eyes. And when you have my eyes, I'll allow you to see the way I see it. And the way I see it that you're standing in victory. I see that you're walking in victory. I see that you're taking back possessions and land that are yours. But you got to stand in it. I don't care if it was cancer that came to try to take you. You got to stand and thank God for his goodness that it didn't take you. I don't care if it was your finances and you saw something happen in your family that cursed your finances. You got to say, as for me and my house, that will not be my future. As for me and my house, we will be blessed. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will give. As for me and my house, as a matter of fact, as you start to be generous and give, God said, I'll break it off you. As you start to give, I'll break it off you. Don't wait until you have it. Do it in faith. And God said, when you do it in faith, I'll break it off. And you'll start to see it in the natural in your life. But you have to do it in the supernatural first before it happens in the natural, church. Don't wait on something to break in the natural before you do it. If you do it by my spirit, I'll give you the breakthrough. God said, I'll do it for you. In your emotions, if you just lean into me, I'll help you to learn to walk by the Spirit of God and not by your emotions. I'm going to break it off you. I'm going to break off generational curses. The stuff that said you can't have or you can't do it. You can have and you can do it. Because who I called you to be. I don't care if you feel like you're off track. I don't care if you feel like your emotions are off track or if you have to have some crooked places. God said, I'll make them straight.
Yes.
But the way he straightens it out is by you walking with him and leaning into him. You still have to live. And as you begin to live, God said, I'll begin to break things off. Don't wait on the perfect time. And he said, the perfect time is actually now. Because today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. So if you do it now, if you say that today is my day, God said, I'll draw you closer to me. If you say that today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, I'll begin to bring breakthrough into your life. If you say today, that has to stop, but this is going to start today, something will begin to change. If you have to stop confessing the negative in order to start confessing the positive, God said, then do it. Start confessing my goodness. Start confessing who I am. When it gets hard, embrace it. Just accept it. Lord, tear down every lie that says it's supposed to be easy in this place. I thank you, God, that you're going to give people the ability to embrace the difficult because you've called us to embrace that in order to see breakthrough in our life. Thank you, God, that the lie of easy, the lie of comfort, the lie of convenience is going to be torn down in this place and that people are just going to come to expect your blessing in hard times, your blessing in persecution, your blessing in oppression, your blessing in... Thank you, Jesus, for rejection. Thank you for it because it helped us draw closer to you. Thank you, Jesus, for who left because it caused us to draw closer to you. Thank you, Lord, for the breaking because of the blessing that came in. Thank you, God, for the trouble because it caused us to lean into you. Thank you for the anxiety because it caused us to meet the Prince of Peace. Thank you for the wandering because it caused us to wander straight into you. Thank you for moving us from where we were to where we are. Thank you for the confusion because it caused us to call on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for the ability to see you in dark places because you are the light. Thank you, God, for the hardship. Thank you, God, for the persecution. Thank you for the trial because it's making us who you've called us to be. You're perfecting it. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Right now in here, right now. You're dealing with fear right now. Put your hands up in the air. Put them up. All right, if you're around them right now and your hands aren't up, I want you to lay hands on the person that are next to you. Just lay hands on them. Sean, lay hands on your mom. Lay hands on them right now, right now. Every spirit of fear that's got to be broken in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against timidity in Jesus' name. Cowardice in Jesus' name. Hopelessness in Jesus' name. Despair in Jesus' name. I thank you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and self-discipline. Get into the hard-to-reach places. Get into the places that we've locked up. Get into the places that we closed off that we say your spirit can't get in. Spirit of God, get in Jesus' name. Break what you need to break off. Every spirit, God, that's lascivious, everything that decided that it wasn't going to serve you because of what it might cost, I come against that in Jesus' name. God, pry open places in Jesus' name. Fatherless, coming as those who don't have fathers or said they didn't have fathers who were there. I thank you that you are the Father, that you are the Father of lights, that you're the one who's going to provide everything that we need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Those that said, I don't have mothers, I thank you, God, that you became what they needed. Single parents, God, I thank you, God, for single parents in here who are going to know their father in a new and intimate way. God, those that have lost kids, God, those that have lost loved ones, I thank you that you said you would never leave them or forsake them. And I pray that that spirit of abandonment would be broken, that people would know that they are loved, that you said you would never leave us or forsake us. That the enemy would not have an occasion anymore to lie. Every lie that comes in, I thank you that you've given us the ability to take it captive according to the obedience of Christ. Truth supersedes the lie. And I thank you, Lord, that today that people are going to fall more in love with the truth of who you are as opposed to what they're hearing. And that truth would set them free to be what you called them to be. I don't care who didn't come for you or who you thought they were supposed to come or they didn't leave. They left. God allowed them to leave. But people's choices don't negate the goodness of God. God is still good despite your will. And if you would look back over your life, you're stronger now than when you were. And God's not done with you yet. Lord, as we continue in the rest of the service, I thank you that eyes are open today to see your truth. Hearts are being changed. Get into the places that only you can get into. Flush out every lie. Every lie. Flush it out. And fill it with your truth. And as you do that, I pray that the truth would set them free in that area so that they can be free in other areas. In Jesus' name. You guys can have a seat. Listen, we can continue to go. Just stay in an attitude of prayer. Hold up. There is a prevailing attitude of fear that has wedged its way in. Not only to the world, but to the body. Where people feel that they are not worthy or deserving of God's love because of what they've done. Or what happened to them. Here's the truth. God has already seen it. But still provided a way for your release. And if you will see it the way God sees it, it will free you from the captivity that you put yourself in. I'm not saying that God does not sideline us for a season for some work. but not a lifetime of being on the sideline. The wilderness was a short time. It was supposed to be a short time. Because what he had was the promised land. But there is always a wilderness, there is always a trying before you walk into the promised land. There has to be. Because every lie has to be torn down. Everything that you took with you from your former life has to come down so you can take what God wants to give you in this life. God cannot give you new wine in old wineskin because the new is so full of goodness and so rich, it'll tear apart. The old, and God doesn't want to mix it. And so what I have for you, he said, is so good. And I just want to help you realize what it is I want you to just take a peek, guys, and send some spies out into the promised land. And when the spies came back, they said, we had to put the fruit on our shoulders because it was so big. Because what God has for you is not small. It's big. And it's not a matter of God not wanting to give it to you, but it's a matter of capacity and what you can hold. If I can't hold it, it doesn't matter if I get it. I can remember wanting to be in a relationship and be married, but when I look back, I wasn't ready to hold it. It was infantile in my thought process and what I was thinking. I didn't know what the weight would be. But when God saw that I was ready to hold it, he said, now you can have it because I'm going to build you through it as you hold it. One of the things that we do at Fit Camp pretty frequently is we do what we call wall sits. Just sit like this against the wall with a weight on your thighs for about a minute, 30 seconds sometimes. And you can tell when it starts to get too heavy because the face turns, it changes. The legs are doing this. Tears might fall. And then when you just throw it off when you're done because the tension is so much. But there's something that happens while you're sitting there. You are training your body and you are training your mind to hold weight even when it's uncomfortable. So in order for my mind to progress past the limitation that's on it, when it starts to hurt, I have to stay in it. Because if I immediately throw it off, I forfeit the process of what it's designed to do. If it was easy, I would just stand up against the wall for a minute and say, okay, tell me when my time's up. But when I crouch down, now I'm causing different parts of my body to have to engage in order for me to stay in it. And the longer you do it, the more you can stay this way. Because you're teaching yourself stability and perseverance in the midst of something that's not comfortable. And you come to almost, and if you're doing it right, love the process of it because of what you see on the other side. Because all of a sudden, now I can stay in it longer. Now it doesn't bother me as much because now my body's used to what I did. And so that's too light for me now. Give me some more. And that's the way life is with God. We said this morning. On the other side of hard is what you're looking for. Not on the other side of easy. Once I got past certain subjects in school, I mastered those things. I needed something else to engage me. And God is the same way. God says, once you mastered one area, I have to introduce another antagonist to come in to get you to exercise the muscles that I've given you. Not only physically, but emotionally. Things will come in to try you just to see where you're at. And once you can handle the pressure of that, I'll introduce something else. But if you can't take this one, I'm not going to introduce that one. So as your muscles are breaking down, this is the key concept. As your muscles are breaking down and you're rebuilding them back up, what you were doing is that you were building strength in them to be able to handle the pressure of the tension. And when you're holding what God has given you, there is tension and there is pressure. Because you are holding something that is of eternal value and it's supernatural. And if God would let it, it would kill you. But he doesn't because he's so good. And so he allows you to hold it and struggle with it just so you can see the weight of it. So that you don't throw it away so lightly. Because of what he's trying to do. It's one of the reasons why the Bible says, don't throw away your confidence so quick. Because it has great reward. Remember, your confidence is the thing that's going to help drive you through. If you can't hold that together, it's going to be hard holding everything else together. So the question is, where's your confidence today? If my hope is not in the Lord, the maker of heaven and the earth, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble because my confidence level cannot be in what's happening in the world. It cannot be in government. It cannot be in systems. I have to hold the tension of what God has given me eternally. Because that is the thing that's going to give me the strength to be able to deal with what's happening in life. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And if it's a temple and the Holy Spirit lives inside of it, you know you have someone who lives inside of it who knows better than you do. If you ever thought about this, you are holding the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords by his Spirit inside of you. You're not holding some broke down, weak, emaciated figure. You're holding the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The truth, the way, the life, who in him there's no shadow of turning. Can I sit like this for the whole service? I might. Because when God speaks, he speaks and there's weight behind it. One of the things the other day I was thinking about, I got a picture of, is the ferocity of God. And how God, when he speaks something and it goes forth, it says, I'm going to accomplish what I say it will be accomplished in, and it will not return back unto me void. And so when God said, let there be light, he said, there's going to be some light. There's going to be some light. And it's going to go out into where I call it to go out into, and it will produce what I needed to produce. And I'll go ahead and put some structure into it. Just read Genesis. I'll put some structure into it. But just so you know, when I say something, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so that's why when God says, when I act, who can reverse it? So you're dealing with a God who knows who he is, and what he says is going to happen is going to happen. And when he prophesies into your life that you will see better days ahead, and when he prophesies in your life that you will take back land that the enemy has stolen, and when he prophesies in your life that your latter will be better than your former, and when he prophesies in your life that you were not who you were, that you are my child, and when he tells you that you are something. God does not renege on what he says. You are something. The question is whether or not you come into alignment with what he's telling you. And you have to get to that point of where you finally say, you know what? It is what it is. If I'm coming back for a church without spot or blemish, I'm coming back for a church without spot or blemish. I don't lie. And so if I'm doing a work and I need to sweep some houses, I'm going to sweep some houses because I can't lie. There's a prophetic anointing that's coming into the body of Christ. It's already here, but it's coming in a bigger way, just so you know. And in that, there is an awareness of the holiness of God, the goodness of God, but also the truth of who God is. So, Ben, thank you. Thank you. You're not dealing with someone who is deciding what needs to be done now. You are dealing with someone who has already decided what needs to be done. So much so that we know before the foundations of the world, God said, I am already going to decide this issue, and I'm already going to come send my son to take care of business. So we know that before the world even was created, God had a plan and a purpose. Don't try to argue or get in with me. Well, why did God create if you know that people were going to go to hell and some to heaven? I'm not in God's mind. God has a specific purpose and plan in mind. All I know is that if God has come and he's knocked on the door of your heart and said, "His, I want you," just take him up on his offer. But in order for you to see who God is, you have to be positioned in order to see God. God is not a halfway God. God doesn't do things halfway. It's not halfway. So when he says, I want all of you, it means I want all of you. That means even in the areas that we are so tightly locked in, God said, I want all of you, and I will cause tension to happen in your life until I get all of you. That means getting you to move your arm so I can get into that wound that you hold. You know, the one that's so tight, God said, I'll make it so that you have to open up so I can get in. That song, Something Has to Break, is prophetic. Because we're not just talking about things breaking, yes, spiritually and the supernatural, yes, but there are certain things that need to break into your life emotionally in order for you to move. There are certain things that God will dumb down for you. But he does not want to stay in that conversation with you like that forever. I want to speak to you on an adult level, and I want you to be able to handle it. I want to take you from being an infant, and I want to bring you into adulthood. And so there are certain things that I do with my kids now that I could not have done 5-6 years ago. Because their cognitive abilities have progressed and they are able to reason now on a different level. You are well past that, or we should be well past that in the body of where God can speak to us deeper things. But in order for God to do that, in order for us to handle that, he's got to pry open the places. We've been talking about this, and we've talked about this before service. There is such a fight with generational curses and family of origin right now. God is wanting to do something new, and the enemy is fighting in order to get people to stay stuck back to the way it was, because he knows the promise of tomorrow for you. And if you're not careful, you can slip back into what was rather than go into what is. You are no longer a slave to fear anymore, the Bible says. No longer. You've not given a spirit of fear. We now have a relationship where we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. And so my earthly dad doesn't compare to my heavenly dad. So what we do is that we compare notes. We compare notes. And we translate those notes based upon what we saw and what actually is. And God is not that father who you have or who you had. And if you walk around in abandonment or that attitude, or you walk around in I never had, you will miss what he died to give you and what you have. And I can't spend my life walking around what I didn't get and what I don't have and not walk into what God died to give me, because what he died to give me is better than what I did have. I have to have that. The switch has got to change in my mind to know that every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights below. He's given me his spirit. There's no turning in him. He loves me. Lord, give me the faith to believe that what you say will come to pass in my life. No matter of what transition and transformation that is taking place in my life right now. Because that's what it is. There's a transformation taking place. And transformation is not comfortable. It's what makes it difficult for us to trust that God is good because of how difficult it is. If God were to tell you what you'd be walking through now 5 years ago, you would have tried to find another route somewhere else to get there because it was not going to be profitable. If you would have saw it, you would have ran from it. But God said, I'm not going to give you that grace. And God doesn't do it that way. He doesn't give you the grace for 5 years from now. He gives you the grace for the season you're in for now so that you can move into the next season, and he's that good. And when the veil is lifted from your eyes little by little, you see the goodness of God, and then you're able to walk into the next season. But God never promises that he's going to give you the grace now for later. It doesn't work that way because the task is too daunting. The transformation is too difficult. And for you to try to borrow tomorrow's grace today wouldn't work. Because the grace you're going to need 5 years from now is going to be greater than what you need now. Because as you go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, there's a new level of grace that's required for transformation. And if you feel stuck now, thank God that he's trying to get you unstuck. The struggle is a sign that something's working. If there wasn't that struggle, something would not be working. But that's how faith works. It's working for me. When I feel that, and you can attest to this, when I feel like I'm in a place of stagnation or I feel like I'm a little bit complacent, the Lord's faithful in order to get me moving again into the work. And this is what happens even with our kids. We're in this series called Family Road Trip, and our kids have been given to us for a season. And I want you to think about it this way. They're given to you as a season, but remember, you're also a kid to God. So the Bible talks about children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him, Psalm 127:3. If you got kids, God said, they're a reward for you. I trusted you with it. You might say to yourself, I wasn't ready. God said, regardless, I trusted you with that gift. You can't abdicate responsibility just because you think you're not ready. Okay, all right, so this is what we have a problem with today. I'm not ready. You shouldn't have slept with them. Pull these up and find another outlet somewhere else. Because you have now opened yourself up to a whole new world of responsibility, regardless of whether or not you wanted it or not. You should have thought about that. And I know you can talk to me, well, there are certain circumstances, there are certain quid pro quos. Sometimes we like to push the envelope and see how far we can get, but not really get it. But sometimes we get bitten in the butt and God says, it's a reward for you. But we want a king. We want to be like everybody else, Lord. But Lord, I want to be like everyone else. Man, they're sleeping around. They're having a great time. They are partying. It is awesome. But you're not ready for it. It's the reason why he said the marriage bed is undefiled, because there's a grace that's there in marriage that is not there outside when it comes to relational issues, when it comes to sex. You play with fire and expect not to be bit, and then, oh, God bless me. But if you would wait until God said, I've given you the permission to do it, God said, I'll bless you in that, even though it might be hard, but I'll give you the grace to do it. But everyone wants the privilege, but they don't want responsibility. I want to feel good, and I want to feel good about myself because everyone's doing it, and they don't realize the emotional tolls taken on them when they do it. Because the two are becoming, Maria, we are preaching today about stuff, aren't we? So the two are becoming one. I don't care if you're married or not. When you sexually are involved with people outside of marriage, two become one. So eventually when you do get married, and if God hasn't done a work in your life and healed, you are taking Janice, Michelle, Gina, everyone's coming in the marriage together. And the emotional toll that it's taken on you, so you can't fully give yourself over to your spouse because you're dealing with the emotional toll of Gina, Janice, and Michelle. Not to mention what happened with what she's bringing in, Joe, Bob, and Jim. And if God hasn't really done a work there, it could be difficult. Not to say that God can't redeem it, because he does. Absolutely. But why put yourself in a position if you know better? Do better. I want to go. I want to make it real hard for myself. Being married is hard enough. But when you introduce other partners into the marriage who are no longer there, shadows, it's hell. Because there are certain things that I'm cut with because of those former relationships that God has to heal. And he does that through a marriage covenant. Yes, he does. And marriage is a way that God brings healing into your life emotionally. Absolutely. But do it right with a person who has the right mind, right attitude. And that's the way God redeems it. Yes. But if you have the choice of whether or not to do it right or do it wrong, talk to the people in this room who did it wrong. Would they go back? I'd love to do that again. That was awesome. I had a great time. I really had a great time. Oh, man, you're missing out. But kids are a blessing. Why? They have power. Check this video out real quick. We got it to work.
Sissy, come on.
So, this Mia's talking, and this is Lexi. Okay, thanks, Ellen. I can listen to this video. You can go to the next screen. Thanks. So they have power, okay? God has placed certain things inside of them that draws you to them. That's why you're connected to your kids. And you would do anything for your kids because of who they are. Come hell or high water, you take a bullet for your kids. You die for your kids. I know someone who did do that. So when you see the love that you have for your kids, and periodically this happens, is that when you see the love that you have for your kids, it is a picture of the undying love that God has for you and what he did to go the lengths to get you in a relationship with him, and he doesn't stop pursuing, and that relationship is sacred. So the relationship I have with my daughters right now is sacred because they've been given to me. They are a reward from him. And so when I know that I am stewarding the reward, I do a little bit better, or I should try to, because I know that they were his first. They were his queens before they were my queens.
So when that intimacy is developed and we have that relationship that's there, then it brings us to another level. They have power. I'm going to share this story. I don't know if she's in here. That's okay. So when I had COVID last year, then the ambulance came in to get me. Misty told me later, and this was a touching moment, that she walked in and Mia was sobbing. Just sobbing. And Misty said the Lord spoke to her and said, it's because she knows her dad. But more importantly, she knows and loves me. Because she was worshiping in the middle of it. Now, for me to see that or hear that as a 13-year-old, for her to get in the presence of God and to worship because something was happening that was scary, and for the revelation to come forth to know that she knows her dad, yeah, it made my heart feel good. But also to hear that God say she knows me. Why? Because of influence. It's the responsibility you get to have to model the behavior that needs to be modeled so that when push comes to shove and it gets difficult, your kids right over into the presence of God. I don't know what's going on, but you are good. Something has to break. I just want to sing. And as it does, it breaks over her life, and there's an intimacy level that's there because she connects with the Father, because she knows the Father, because she knows the Father. If you can't model it in a way that they know they're loved and accepted by a Heavenly Father who supersedes you, it will be difficult for them to turn to the right place when it gets hard. The goal for you is for them to turn right rather than left. I don't need my kids dealing with identity issues 10 years from now. I need my kids knowing who they are so 10 years from now, when it gets harder and more difficult and they feel oppressed, that they can stand up in the midst of it and say, yes, I am a female. Yes, I am loved by God. Yes, I know who I am. I know who my daddy is. I don't need them going through wilderness experiences. I don't need them experimenting with things they don't need to experiment with. I need them to know that they're loved and accepted, and that if anything did happen, that I would be there for them, and that more importantly, God would be there for them. They don't have to doubt their sexuality. They don't have to struggle with it. They're going to have kid things, and that's life, but they don't have to go around in circles being hurt in order to find out their true worth. That is not fun. It is not exciting. It is not attractive to you. It is not attractive to me. When you see someone walking around stupering and saying, hey, you want to dance with me? You're drunk out of your mind. No one really, come on now. No. What's attractive is they fear the Lord. That's attractive. They got power. God has put stuff in them. It's got to come out. Guess who gets to steward that? You. Second thing, they have a destiny. Go ahead, Alan, put that next scripture up for me. Proverbs 22:6, direct your children on the right path. When they are older, they will not leave it. Not leave it. It doesn't mean in between. When they are older, they won't depart. That seed that was planted will begin to call them back. Because when I send out my word, it doesn't return back unto me void. I'm going to send it back. I'm going to get it back. They might be crazy, but guess what? It's coming back. It's coming back. They know in their heart. Think about some of the kids you know, maybe even some of your own kids, and they're maybe wayward. You know when you talk to them, there's something there. You know the truth. You're just playing. You can play all you want. I just want to have my freedom, but you can't handle the freedom you've been given. That's what we want. I want freedom. I want to give my kids freedom. I want them to be my best friends. Not now. Not now. Later on in life, you don't, okay, so even if they get 18 and that's the world standard, Not God's standard. Even if they're 21, that's the world standard. 25, 30, you still have a responsibility to speak into their life and help steward them, because they're going to go through issues. And you've been given the wisdom to speak into their life. They have a destiny. And so when they come calling and they say, hey, what do you think about this? That's your opportunity to speak into their destiny. Right now, you're a parent. Forever, you will be a parent. One day, you might be friends. That's the goal. But I don't stop parenting when I become a friend. Let's hit the club, girl. We want to go to the club? Let's do it. Who we got a club? Oh, he looks good. You're like 55. She's 30. He looks good. They look good. What are you thinking? You got your rings on, your hair's done. What are you thinking? By the bar, just drinking, man. I think we should go for him. What do you think? Come on now. Fostering a relationship with them so that they don't look for identity in places they don't need to look into it. I'm not knocking you going to the club with your daughter, whatever you want to do. The Lord gives you permission, do it. But I'm saying do it. Do things right. Don't sacrifice a relationship because you want to be cool. Don't sacrifice your morality because you want friendship with your kids. Because then that becomes codependency. As a parent, now you're being codependent to try to relive your old days through your 30-year-old daughter or son. Get a life. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's one thing God spoke to me a long time ago. He said, listen, they're leaving anyway. It doesn't matter what you try to do. They're leaving. So live your life. Find a life for yourself outside of your kids. Because what it does is it makes your life attractive to know that you are not involved. You are not wrapped and involved around your kids so tightly that you can't open yourself up to the possibility of what God has for you in your life. Get a life. honey, what you doing tonight? Mom, we went out last week. What are you doing tonight, though? I am super stoked for Chinese. What are you doing? But don't you have any friends? Think about it. What's attractive is that we get to do life, but we get to do life. And so that when we come in contact with one another, we can swap stories about what God's doing in our life, and it's good. And we know that we're not our own, we're His, and that we have a destiny, each one of us, and that different seasons come and go, and I can celebrate what God's doing in your life, and you can celebrate what God's doing in my life, and we're cool. We're cool. But the goal is for not you to stay so wrapped around your kids for the next 20 years that it's like, honey, you ain't going nowhere. No, guess what? They're going to want to go. They're going to want to go. Why? Because they got a destiny. They got to go. I don't care what you try to do. God, that destiny is going to be pulled out of them. And that destiny is going to draw them. Until one day, they're watching Moana, and I'm going, Lord. Because destiny pulls. And God might be doing that with you right now. He's pulling destiny out of you. That's why it's uncomfortable. Because there's stuff I place inside of you I want to pull out, but I got to get to some places, because once I do, you'll feel a lot freer to let go. And once you let go, I can do what I need to do in you, and I can do what I need to do in your kids. I tell you what, God's done some fantastic things to my kids, and I haven't been involved. All of a sudden, growth pops up when you're least expected. Why? Because God's at work in them, just like He's at work in you. God's going to fight for you, and He's going to fight for them. Because they have a destiny. Third thing, they have flaws. So do you. The beautiful thing about life is that you get to do life with flawed people. That's what, it's what gives you the spice you need. If everyone was perfect and they were molded in a certain way, life would be terribly boring. There are certain things that irritate you by certain people, but you know what? It's also an attractive element sometimes because it gives you something to work on. I mean, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man's countenance sharpen another. God says they're there because there are certain work I want to do in your life, and I can't have another you there. When God put me and Missy together, he knew what he was doing. We were opposites. But opposites attract, and God makes something beautiful out of that. So when you're looking for someone to be in a relationship with, while they might be like-minded like you, look for people who are not like you also. There are certain people I like to do life with because you're like me. Other people, I'm like, that's cool. I can take that perspective, and it's good for you. It's good. But they have flaws. If you're going to shy away from people who have flaws, you'll never experience the spice of life. You only experience the bland parts because the bland parts just taste like you want them to taste. Well, that's what I like, so that's what I like. But what it is you might be missing out on a whole pool of people that God wants you to be involved with who are not like you, and all of a sudden they might be the key to help push you past what's holding you. A lot of times what's holding you is how you saw relationships be done growing up. And so one of the reasons why we talk about health and emotional health is God breaking down the ties to what you saw and what you caught growing up. So if you can, those things can be broken, then you can catch some other stuff. So that when you see things, you can start to appreciate that. I never saw that before. I know, because you are blinded in that area. But now that you saw it, you're like, I appreciate that. I do. Man, I like the fact of the matter that they can do that. I appreciate that. Thank you for giving me a buffer. It's going back to thanking God in the midst of all things, despite of not being like one another and not things not being easy all the time. I appreciate the grace of God in your life. I appreciate that. You know, as you begin to mature in God, you appreciate things a little bit differently. I appreciate that difference. I may not like it, but I appreciate the difference. I'm not going to necessarily be best friends with you, but I appreciate the difference. Because I value myself in God's kingdom. And that's the problem. We got people who are undervalued. When you don't value yourself, what you do is you look down on everybody else. And you're like, man, they don't have what it takes. Now, the fact of the matter is that you don't see yourself like I want you to see yourself. And so once you do that, you can let people be themselves and do them, and you can do you. But if you're always trying to make people do you, we got a problem. And you're going, oh, what did he say? I didn't mean that way. Some of y'all be thinking about later at lunch. He said. But do you? If you would do that and realize that I have flaws, but God still loves me, then we can get somewhere. So look at the disciples for a moment. Ben, come on up. Look at the disciples for a moment. Okay, as they're in relationship with Jesus and as he's picking them, they're all different places. All different places. Some outspoken, some more reserved, some analytical. Some who didn't like playing games. The Bible says to Nathaniel, like there was no guile in him. He says, hey, shoot it to me straight. Then you had Judas. There's always a Judas. And all these people, God said, we're going to do something. We're going to change the world with these right here. They're all different. Were they flawed? Yes. Did they still doubt God 3 years into knowing him? Yes. Did they revolutionize the books in the New Testament? Yes. Did they do works of miracles and incredible things in the name of Jesus? Yes. Were they flawed? Yes. Did Peter and Paul have issues? Yes. Read the New Testament. Did most of them die for the sake of the gospel? Yes. Still flawed, but filled with the Spirit of God. You too. Flawed, but filled with the Spirit of God. Because he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for a willing heart to say, yeah, come on in. That's what makes the gospel attractive, is that he's coming to people who are not like him in perfection, but who need to be perfected. And that perfection swallows up my imperfection. And now I'm given a new robe of righteousness, and I can do life with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords because of what he's done, being perfected, being used even while being imperfect. If I were to wait to do what God has called me to do because I was perfect, I would never do anything. Never, never do anything. I would propose to you now that even in the midst of your transformation and the midst of what you're going through, to do what God's called you to do. Unless God has specifically told you, hey, not yet, I would continue to step out in faith and do it. Most of the time, God is waiting on you to take a step. Take a step. And I'll start to do things and rearrange things in your life. And I will make the crooked places straight if you start walking with me. But that's the beauty of walking with him. He's going to do it with you. I'll make it straight. I'm not just going to do it. I want you to walk with me. That's what a good father does. Let's do it together. It hurts. Yeah, it does. But it's good. Why? Because son, daughter, I want you to hold what I've died to give you. Not just eternally, but here now. So just go ahead and sit. Because you already are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, the Bible says. So if I'm already there, I might as well learn how to sit. But do. You ever have one of those things, and let's all stand on our feet. How many have that timer on your phone where it tells you you've been sitting too long? How many have that? I got to get up, like 10 minutes into it. I got to get up. I'm sitting too long. It's a reminder, hey, I got to get moving. Got to get moving. I'm going to just propose to you today the question, have you been sitting too long and waiting on God to tell you what to do? And in reality, the timer has gone off many times. Many times. But you have not been in a place or where you felt like you could because of where you are. And God said, if you will just go ahead and do it, I will give you the grace that's needed. Because that step and that movement might be the thing that's going to bring healing into your life. Some of the things we're waiting on God to do, God said, I've done my part. I want you to do your part now. But Lord, I can't. I can't. Yes, you can. If you'll just stand up, I'll help straighten you out. And as you see yourself straighten out, that can't we'll turn to Ken. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to do it with you. And that means that something will break in your life when I do it with you. But I'm not going to do it any other way. Because I've given you the gifts, I've given you the talents and the grace to do this. But until you see it, you'll never move and you'll never come into what I've called you to do. There are certain times in my life where it's more for me, act than don't act. Son, act. Because if what you caught growing up was, I'm going to wait, you can misunderstand that for do nothing. And honestly, people get trapped on that. Waiting on God to do something, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and years go by, and nothing has changed. And if you are of the mindset that says, hold on, that's not the way I see it. I see it this way, that I should start to move where God has called me to move, and God will begin to do things in my life. Take that track, I'm telling you then. Coming from a person who's seen the other one. Because that excuse, Lord Jesus, that excuse of I'm waiting is an excuse for God to tell me specifically what to do. If God specifically has not told you to do something, then step out and do something. Started your mental health practice last year, okay? As she was getting ready for retirement. Probably not easy. Stepped out and do it. She's got clients like night and day. Night and day. I need help, Maria. Nonprofits, nonprofit, growing in fire departments. If you start moving, it'll start changing. If you stay this way, it'll stay the same. And if you can catch yourself slipping, move yourself back to where you need to go. There's nothing wrong with resting. Hold on. Nothing wrong with resting. Don't let rest turn into laziness. David looked off a roof. When the Bible says specifically that he should have been out to war, that was the time kings went out to war. And David said, I don't got to go. We're good. He's on his roof. He looks over and guess who he sees? Oh, that's you. Turns his life completely around to where now generationally he has issues after that in all his kids because of adultery. In a season, the spring season of his life when he should have been doing something vibrant, active, because you knew what God called him to do, a man of war, he was looking at something else he shouldn't have looked at. It doesn't mean it's not there. God's not going to take away things from you just because it's uncomfortable for you. You're going to have to look at it and just deal with it and move the other way. Why would he do that? You have the ability to say no. You can still do what God's called you to do in the midst of temptation. As a matter of fact, when you do it, you help progress yourself into another level of faith. He's not going to take it away from you. He's not going to do it. The tree was not taken out of Eden when Adam and Eve were there. Just don't eat it, okay? There are parameters that I've given you. Just don't go past the parameter. I'm not going to take it from you. There are certain desires that I've given you in your heart. I've given you those desires. They're there. I've given you them. I want you to delight yourself in me. I'll give you those desires. I'm not trying to rob your life. But I'm also not going to allow you just to do anything you want and open yourself up to destruction. So use wisdom. Use wisdom. But move. If you know that you're wired a certain way, start to move that way. If there are certain things you connect with, they're there for a reason. I totally hate what I'm doing. Should you be doing it? Or are you in a season that God says, hey, listen, I just need you to do this now. You're in a season, it's grace, it's cool. But move in that direction. Allow God to start opening doors for you. And if you say to yourself and you believe that God is bigger than you, God can shut doors, he can open doors. If you start out one way and God changes it, guess what? He has the ability to change it. He's big enough to do it. But unless you start moving, how do you know? Lord, put me where you want physically. No, get up, move, and know that those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. And if you believe that your footsteps are ordered, guess what? Your footsteps are ordered, even in a trial. Even in a difficulty. Lord, thank you so much for everyone in here. You know every one of them. You understand every one of them. You know their hearts. Lord, you know their minds. Lord, you know what makes them tick. Thank you for giving them the ability to discern the season, but also to start to walk, because we know that our footsteps are ordered by you. Lord, I even pray this week. Pray this week. Doors will be opened. As people begin to walk, doors will be shut. You will begin to adjust lanes as people move. But that's what the faith walk is. Help us to realize that we walk by faith and not by sight. And that you want us to move into those things you've called us to move into. And as we do that by faith, you will give us the eyes to see in the natural. Thank you, God, that we can see the way you see, that we are loved and accepted by you because of what the Son has done, and that the Son has set us free, and we are free indeed today, free to worship you, free to be in the house of God because of what you've done. Thank you so much for that. Every person in here that you are liberating, God, from family of origin issues, from generational curses, thank you, God, for your liberating spirit. Every person dealing with depression, dealing with anxiety, Lord, that today, Lord, this is going to be a marker that people are going to say, today, I remember that day, God began to free me, and I began to see the Spirit of God moving in my life like I've never seen him move in my life. There was a release spiritually. I felt joy. Thank you, God, for joy coming back in the hearts of your people. Expectancy, God, hope. Thank you, God, that those dead places, God, are gone, and that you are resurrecting things to life, life, life. That the latter days will be better than the former days because of who you are. We declare that today because of your goodness in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.